This is, again, this is fruit number 7, November 14th, 2017, and I'm continuing on with my fruit of the Spirit. Tonight is basically going to be a continuance of my study that I've done in Phoenix, where I just touched on the word righteousness. So I'm going to be doing pretty much the study is going to be on righteousness tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and for all the blessings that you give us in it. Lord, for those that we see, the beauty of the things around us. And Lord, for those that we don't see, the grace that you give us. Lord, we're so thankful for all that. And the workings of the prayers of the saints that's behind the scenes. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are on our hearts that need a healing or comforting touch. And be with me tonight, Lord, as I open this word and help bring forth a small portion of this to the saints. And that it be for the uplifting of the body and for the edification. And Lord, that I bring nothing but glory to you, Lord, for it's my will to do your will. It's in all these things I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Ronnie will be here shortly. Him and Lori was going to a memorial of his mom's at the nursing home she was at. And Chip will be here shortly too. He was at the hospital with his dad. So his dad's going to be having a hip replacement tomorrow. From a fall that he had today, it's kind of fast working. But as I understand it, that's what's going to be happening with that. But in continuing on with my fruit of the Spirit, unless there won't be any posting unless Gary feels like he wants to do it. It's all I can do to read from my notes, much less trying to read and post at the same time. I thank you, Gary. But Ephesians 5, 9, and 10 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord." And my last study was on edification or edifying, where we as body members are to uplift and edify each other and those around us to help bring forth Christ's witness in us and help build those up around us. And this fruit of the Spirit is, it's more or less for me than it is anybody else, because it's helping me to be a better witness, I hope, for anybody that's around me, that whether they know the Lord or whether they don't know Scripture rightly divided, studying the fruit of the Spirit, that it helps me to keep a good calm manner about me when I'm talking Scripture with someone of another religion. And in Ephesians 4:11-13, I stated in my last study that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers and pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I stated then, and I say now, that the fruit of the Spirit is a piece of the pie that is the fullness of Christ that we're to build upon. We all have qualities given us from Christ to uplift or edify or support each other. Not everybody has the ability to teach. I still feel like I don't have the ability, but it's becoming a little more easy for me. And just like when we pray for each other, when we support each other, we can feel the prayers from the saints. We know it works. because we can see the witness of it. In Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. That's just something that you can take to heart and use that on a daily basis. In 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him, and this he is Christ. Because there is none more righteous than our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. So if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is of him. Righteousness, as used in Scripture and theology, is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of the heart, and conformity of life to the divine law. In Psalms 106:3, blessed are they that keep judgment and that doeth righteousness at all times. We can still equate the fruit of the Spirit even back into the Psalms. In keeping with my fruit of the Spirit studies tonight, I'm going to continue with my study on righteousness and use verses that are in the post-Acts epistles, but expanded verses for context of each verse. In my last study, I gave them all 12 verses, and they're in 5 different books. And the numbers right there has God's signature on them. But I read them as though they were one paragraph. And to me, it was just a beautiful example of Christ working with the Word. Even though they were from different books, they were all conjoined into one paragraph. And to me, I don't know if anybody else got out of it, but to me, I could just feel the strength of Christ's grace in that. But tonight, I'm going to go over those and do that. Like I said, it's used 12 times in 5 different books: Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Righteousness is one of those words that's associated with God, Christ, and the one that practices scriptural teaching and follows God's holy, inspired word. Righteousness is dikaiosune. It's equity of character, specially Christian, justification, purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to divine law. Righteousness as used in Scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart, and conformity of life to divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true Christianity. Righteousness is Christ. Righteousness is perfect Christian attitude. Righteousness is living life with God's Word on your heart. In the Critical Lexicon and Concordance, righteousness is doing or being what is just and right. The character and acts of a man commanded by and approved of God, in virtue of which the man corresponds with him and his will as his ideal and his standard. It signifies the sum total of all that God commands and approves. As such, it is not only what God demands, but what he gives to man and which is approved by faith. And hence it is a state called forth by God's act of justification, by judicial deliverance from all that stands in the way of being righteous. Fruit, I already said it's a piece of the pie, like in Ephesians 4:13, it's the fullness of Christ. One of the main characteristics of a godly Christian is being filled with the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit. and going with the words in the church epistles, Philippians 1, 8 to 10. Philippians is, Paul had a bond with the Philippians who had their own trials, even though they didn't have many Judaizers there. There was some, but Paul warned them about the trials that was to come with the Judaizers. In 1, 8 through 10, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness." Now, it's got fruits there in the plural, but that's really singular in the oldest manuscripts. It says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. In Philippians 3, 1 to 5, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Here he is giving the warnings. "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision." Because these were the guys that was going around and causing all the trouble and that Paul had to deal with on a daily basis. "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if you know the man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And then he gives his credentials. "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless." Now here, That's not a gracious righteousness, but this righteousness is of the law, where Paul brought forth a lot of trouble to Christians, to body members that were of the church, and he threw them in jail and all of that, and he gave his earthly direction. Paul is sending Timothy and Epaphroditus as messengers to Philippi, and explain how even through sickness, close to death, he continued on, even though the Philippians couldn't help Paul at this time. Righteousness here is Paul claiming it through practicing and teaching the law. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, "But what things were gained to me," now all those things were gained to him that we just went over, "those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness," again, which is of the law, "but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." There's two different righteousnesses here. One is of God, and one is of man that's trying to practice the law. Paul explains his state of Israel's leadership in the Jewish tradition as nothing, and expresses that man's righteousness is but waste. But through faith of Christ, righteousness is of God by faith. In Ephesians, the doctrinal part of Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. If so be that ye heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness here is compared to holiness. It's the new man that God created through his holy righteousness. We can compare Colossians 3:10, where we're renewed after the image of Christ that created him. This is the new man. In Ephesians 5:9, which is one that I go through every one of my studies, is, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. This is one of the jewels of the crown that Paul will receive, that his crown that he'll receive is reward. But this is also one of the jewels that we'll receive in our crown. In Ephesians 6, we have righteousness as part of the armor. And finally, my brethren, in 10 through 13, finally, my brethren, to the faithful in Christ, this is, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the methodia, literally the schemes brought out for deceiving. Stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, which is people, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and you having the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects a vital organ of the heart. And wearing this armor daily that we do protects the body member's heart against the deceivableness of Satan. And you notice that in 11 it's the wiles of Satan, in 12 it's darkness and wickedness, in 13 it's the evil day, and we'll get 16, it's the fiery darts or the javelins in heavenly places, which were once fallen angels' abode. Okay, Satan was there at one time, and which they still aspire to be. They want to be there. As far as they are permitted, Satan was there at one time, and he still has power that God gave him from the heavens. Satan is no joke. Without Christ and his protection, we would be puppets in his playground. This is why we are to keep vigilant with the armor of God and keep Satan at bay. One of the commentaries noted that in Tois Epiraneos, about our interest in those heavenly privileges which the devil would take from us and rob us of, He strove with the angel about the body of Moses, but with us about our faith. And herein he hath the advantage, that he is above us, and doth out of the air assault us, being upon the upper ground, as it were. He is not in the super heavens, but he still has his power, being prince and power of the air, that we know for a fact that he is. This power that Satan has is stronger than anything that we could even imagine. And when we wonder about the statement about in Ephesians, that you will stand against evil day, against, okay, but spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. No, Satan is not in the heavenly places, but he still has that power that he had while he was in the heavenly places. I don't know how to phrase that in another way, but Satan is still a powerful being that has the powers that he once had in the upon heavenlies. And I kind of see that as where the Epiphanius is at there, even though I know Satan is not in heaven. In 1 Timothy, where we have admonition and practical teaching of false teachers, in 6 through 10, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. This fleshly body stays here. It's not going anywhere. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into the temptation and the snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So this is their own righteousness, I guess you'd say. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted selfishness after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Righteousness here is a virtue through Christ's direction. In 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 21, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, now some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, righteous here is the virtue through Christ's direction again. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, this is a doctrinal and practical truth, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Again, through God's Word is where righteousness dwells. Christ dwells within righteousness. Christ is God's Word. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Righteousness here is teaching Scripture with examples through the inspired message of God. Paul giving Timothy a personal and private message in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he's the one that determines who is righteous or not, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. The heavenly reward awaits Paul and members of the body. Again, this the crown of righteousness is there. Paul writing to Titus in Titus 2, I'm going to read through 2:11 through 3:5. Paul writing to Titus, a companion that was led to the truth by him. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in a malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When Titus 3:5 there, well, Stefan Van Hoonen gave an awesome presentation at the conference about baptism. And this is one of the verses that he showed, that this is a baptism because it's associated with washing and regeneration. And his display of using a pickle was pretty good and humorous in a way, but that how, like a pickle and a man, that before the baptism they're one thing, but after the pickle is transformed through the washing and regeneration that makes it a pickle, even though it's still a cucumber, it's a totally different object altogether. Just like a man, before he accepts Christ and is baptized through his death, burial, and resurrection, and recognizes that, he's a different person. And the fruit of the Spirit makes him a different person by living that, and he exemplifies the fact. I thought that was a really good example that Stefan had. As you can see, man's righteousness is usually worldly. most 100%, most of the time it's worldly. And the body members should never boast of being righteous, but only through His saving grace. That's Christ. We await His appearing to reward us a crown of righteousness. But we are to daily endeavor to display the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Righteousness cannot be expressed from one's self to another, such as saying, "I'm righteous and you're not." That would be heady and high-minded. That would be selfish. But an internal work from the heart with sincerity, through the faith and love of God, even Christ. Righteousness is one of the crown jewels of the fruit of the Spirit. And like when I finished up with my study in Phoenix, I want to close with use Colossians 3:10-15. And that is an example of wearing the fruit of the Spirit when the term "put on" is used. Just think of the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 3:1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And then 10. "And have put on the new man." This new man is through the Spirit, "which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Wherefore there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels and mercies." This is the fruit of the Spirit. "Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body. And be ye thankful." Dear Heavenly Father, again we come to you and thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do. Lord, we can't express enough thanks for those things that you're doing for us that we can't see. Lord, your grace abounds so much that we couldn't even fathom the graces that you lay on us. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are on our hearts that may need a healing or comforting touch. And keep your word on our hearts, Lord, as we continue to study. And Lord, in all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.